Hi, everyone. Today we're going to be talking about the life of Jehoshaphat, a good king in Judah, the line of the Messiah. During Jehoshaphat's reign, there was a time when he felt threatened by surrounding neighbors. They were threatening to wipe out the chosen nation of God. How about you? Do you ever feel like you're surrounded by armies on all sides? Like your world is caving in? Maybe you're quiet and peaceful at work, then all of a sudden a committee barges into your office to tell you that they have an emergency and need to meet immediately. Maybe your assistant comes in to tell you that your entire schedule has changed because clients canceled with emergencies. Then, on top of that, you get a call from home saying the water pipe burst. And finally, the dealership calls you to tell you that your car needs new tires. What? Panic! Well, these are modern-day battles that we face. They are distractions. The question is, what do we do in these situations? Do we fear? That's pretty normal, so we probably would feel fear, but we need to remember that these feelings are the enemy at work. The best thing to do is what Jehoshaphat did. He prayed. Let's look at his story to see how he found victory from turning to God. To begin, let's cover his life as king, and then you will see where he finds his victory. If you remember from teaching number 15, we talked about King Asa, Jehoshaphat's father. He was a good king, and fortunately his son Jehoshaphat is also a good king. The title of this teaching is Fear, Strength, Victory. 2 Chronicles 17 through 20 covers the life of Jehoshaphat, and Psalm 83 describes this victory at the Battle of En-Gedi. We will be dividing Jehoshaphat's life into three parts to make things simple. Jehoshaphat's kingdom, Jehoshaphat's temptation, and Jehoshaphat's victory. First, we will talk about Jehoshaphat's kingdom. There are four areas in Jehoshaphat's kingdom that will be discussed. 1. Perfect heart. Let's look at Jehoshaphat's heart. He sought the Lord God. 2 Chronicles 17 puts it, "And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He walked in the first ways of his father David and did not follow the idol Baal like Israel did." Jehoshaphat must have written the law daily as kings were instructed to do by God through Moses. Writing the word or the law causes you to learn it and it becomes a way of life. This creates a perfect heart that loves and seeks God continually. God intended for all kings to have a perfect heart, but distractions like wealth and personal desires seem to block it. Today, our hearts are blocked from seeking God for the same reasons. It's hard to focus on God when we're all caught up in the world and all the luxuries and entertainments that it has to offer. We must resist those temptations so we can take time to be still and know God. Also, we need to write the law daily like the kings were instructed to do. Does that mean you have to get out a pencil and paper and write the Bible? No, just take time to read or listen to it. Be reminded of the power and strength in your life, the Lord God Himself. Jehoshaphat, being a good king of that time, was seeking God continually with a loving and perfect heart like David had. That should be the goal of every Christian. 2. Strong armies. Because of Jehoshaphat's perfect heart, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. He had strong armies for protection. To strengthen himself against Israel and its pagan ways of idol worship, Jehoshaphat placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons, which are many troops, in Judah and all the cities of Ephraim, the territory that his father Asa had captured. With all this protection in place and the strength exhibited in this protection, other nations feared Judah during Jehoshaphat's reign. 2 Chronicles 17:10 says, "The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah, so there were no wars against Jehoshaphat." This was a peaceful, joyful time for the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and now Ephraim. Today in our world, with God's protection in our lives, we should be feeling peaceful and joyful also. 3. Riches and honor. All of Judah brought presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Even some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. The Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 goats. Since he had all this treasure, he had to build castles and cities for storage. So the question is, was this too much honor? Did he accumulate too many riches? Were all the riches and the store cities and castles a distraction? We will see as his life unfolds. We, like Jehoshaphat, need to be on guard to make sure we don't get too enamored with riches and possessions in our lives. Continually pray against this strong temptation. 4. Teachers. In the third year of Jehoshaphat's reign, he did a wonderful thing. He sent princes, Levites, and priests to teach the book of the law to all the cities in Judah. The Levites carried the book of the law, and everyone learned all about the amazing things of God. This had not been done in Judah before this time, so this was a great thing that Jehoshaphat did to ensure the people knew the true God. How amazing that Jehoshaphat had such a love for God that he wanted everyone to learn all about God. King David had this same love for God and wanted others to know God. That's why he wanted to build the temple, so people could come together and learn about the law and things of God. By sending out teachers, Jehoshaphat's people would learn all about God for themselves and could grow closer to the Lord. This would secure the nation of Judah so they wouldn't be tempted to follow the ways of Israel by following idols in the future. At least that is what Jehoshaphat's intentions were. You will see as his story unfolds what really happens to his sons. But for now, everyone began to know the law and the word of God. This causes people to know a joy unspeakable. It causes someone to want to sing to the Lord and to praise him. Isn't it amazing how bright the presence of God is? His radiance from people's joy shines forth for other nations to see. God is then faithful to protect them from all sides against surrounding danger. This is probably why some of the surrounding nations brought so many gifts to Jehoshaphat. They had a reverent fear of Judah due to their powerful God. Now that we've talked about Jehoshaphat's kingdom, second, we will cover Jehoshaphat's temptation. Question: did all the riches and honor for King Jehoshaphat cause him to fall into temptation? Did he lose his focus like Solomon did? Did he stop writing the law daily as kings were instructed to do by God through Moses? Did he take his eyes off God? Well, if you remember the split of the kingdom after Solomon was king, Judah had 2 tribes and Israel had 10 tribes. All of the kings of Israel were wicked, but Ahab was the worst so far. It was mostly because of Jezebel. It appears that she was envious of Judah's wealth and honor. Jezebel was so into having all the power and riches that she probably pushed Ahab to go to Jehoshaphat to get some of this wealth, because there was a marriage alliance between Ahab and Jehoshaphat. What an ingenious way to share in Jehoshaphat's wealth, get their daughter to marry Jehoshaphat's son. We don't know if that's exactly what happened, but from looking at the rest of Jezebel's actions in her life, it is definitely a possibility. So after Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's son, married Athaliah, Ahab's daughter, Ahab invited Jehoshaphat down to Samaria to sacrifice multitudes of sheep and oxen for him. So again, it looks like Ahab had an ulterior motive, because during the sacrifices he persuaded Jehoshaphat to go to battle with him at Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab must have known that others would fear the king of Judah, since they had a reputation of having a strong army due to their dedication to God. Let's stop for a minute to talk about this decision to allow this evil marriage to take place. First of all, in that day, parents could easily control the marriages of their children. This decision to allow his son to marry a daughter of Ahab and wicked Jezebel resulted in future evil and wickedness in Judah. All these wonderful acts of sending teachers and the law throughout Judah would soon stop because his son Jehoram ended up being such a wicked king that Elijah the prophet came to him and said, "You will die of a terrible bowel disease." Jehoram had killed all of his brothers, Jehoshaphat's children, probably to ensure that he would be the only king. Total wickedness, just like Jezebel. After he died of this disease, his son Ahaziah became king and was killed shortly thereafter as a fulfillment of prophecy through Elijah the prophet. You see, Jehu, who Elijah anointed king of Israel, was commanded by God to defeat the rest of Ahab's family. After Ahaziah's death, his wicked grandmother, Athaliah, Jezebel and Ahab's daughter, killed all of the future descendants, her own grandchildren, so that she could become queen. She wanted to make sure she remained queen for the rest of her life. What wickedness, thinking she could kill all the descendants of Judah so there would be no one left to be king. Well, one of her granddaughters, Ahaziah's sister, hid her nephew Joash and his nursemaid in a cave so he could grow up to become king. After 6 years of Queen Athaliah's wickedness, fortunately the godly remnant from Jehoshaphat's day killed Athaliah and things got better. You will hear all about the good King Joash in a couple of teachings. But for now, you can see how detrimental one sin by Jehoshaphat turned out to be. Allowing an alliance with such an evil family almost caused destruction to the line of the Messiah. That's why the New Testament warns in 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't be yoked with unbelievers. When someone marries or joins in a business venture, they need to pray to make sure there's no wickedness or wrong beliefs in the person they're joining with. I've heard so many nightmarish stories of business partners who ended up doing wicked because they had different beliefs. Also, this happens in marriages. So back to Jehoshaphat and Ahab's plan to go to battle together. One of the best things we see Jehoshaphat do at this point is insisting that Ahab inquire of God. Jehoshaphat insists that Ahab ask Micaiah, a truthful and good prophet of God, for his advice. Ahab had just called on 400 prophets of God, and they tickled his ears with good news. When asked, Ahab told Jehoshaphat that there was one other prophet from God, but Ahab hated him because he always gave him bad news. When Micaiah came before the two kings, he told Ahab bad news that God had allowed a lying spirit to speak good things through the 400 prophets that tickled his ears. After Micaiah told him things would not go well at the Battle of Ramoth-Gilead, he chose to go anyway and tried to hide from God. Well, that's impossible. We can never hide from God. Sometimes if we're not seeking God's counsel, we would like to try to hide from God, much like Adam and Eve did after their sin in the garden. But God sees all. There's no way to run from God. Even though he had a disguise on, Ahab found out that he couldn't run from God either. He was struck through the joints of his armor with a fatal wound. He had told Jehoshaphat to wear his royal robes, but he disguised himself hoping no one would recognize him. I wonder if it ever occurred to Jehoshaphat that Ahab was probably tricking him when he told him to dress up like the king. The enemy at Ramoth-Gilead tried to kill Jehoshaphat thinking he was Ahab, but Jehoshaphat called out to God and was saved from death. 2 Chronicles 18 says the Lord helped Jehoshaphat and moved the soldiers to depart from attacking him. Ahab ended up dying later that day. After Jehoshaphat returned safely from the battle at Ramoth-Gilead, a prophet came to him to tell him that he would receive the wrath of God for this sin of the alliance with evil Ahab. This wrath caused all those future problems in Judah that were mostly driven by Athaliah and caused the people to fall back into the destructive idol worship. This is an unfortunate consequence, but Jehoshaphat does repent of his sin. He does an amazing thing for God by sending judges all over Judah, judging and encouraging others to fear the Lord. You know, it's important to have the fear of God. When you were a kid, you feared your teacher, right? That fear caused a reverence that allowed you to focus and learn. There is a healthy fear of God that we get when we dig deep in the Bible, a fear that creates adoration and love for God. We then see his amazing power and realize how big this God really is. So having a fear of God is actually a good thing. We become more teachable and keep a humble heart. Third, we will cover Jehoshaphat's victory. After God saved Jehoshaphat at Ramoth-Gilead, things remained quiet and peaceful in Judah until a servant of Jehoshaphat came in and announced that three nations plus a few others were closing in on Judah for attack. Jehoshaphat immediately feared. I'm sure we would feel the same fear if we had that situation come. It seems to be an automatic response when danger arises. So what do you think a good king would do in a case like this? Wouldn't he secure the water supply? Wouldn't he fortify and call all the troops together to guard the gates? Maybe he would be tempted to call on Egypt, even though the kings were warned by God through Moses never to call on Egypt. Well, Jehoshaphat did none of these. What? You ask. Why not? Even today we see nations doing this type of thing. What did Jehoshaphat do? He prayed. Obviously, Jehoshaphat knew that any strength that he had as a king and his army strength were all due to God. He truly believed that he could do nothing on his own strength, but needed God to succeed. Maybe he learned this from being still before God, or maybe he learned from writing the law daily, like all good kings were commanded to do. Whatever the case, we know that Jehoshaphat called on God right away. Yes, he initially felt fear, but then he immediately called everyone to fast and pray. So why did he call the people to fast? Think about it. Have you ever had to fast for medical reasons? If you remember, your body slows down and it's easy to relax and focus. Jehoshaphat thought this was important in order to focus on God and to pray. Also, it was an act of reverence to God, putting God first in your life, even before food. Today, you can also fast from other things like television, computers, and even phones for half a day or a day in order to really stay focused on God. Think of the distractions that all these things put in our lives. It's very difficult to stop and be still before a holy God when you're constantly hearing text beeps and phone calls. But if you eliminate distractions in your life for a short period of time, it helps you stay focused on God. So back to Jehoshaphat. He gathered everyone in the temple and he prayed. I'm going to read Jehoshaphat's prayer and then show you how you can use this prayer in your own life. It begins with 2 Chronicles 20. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Didn't you drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they have lived in it and built a sanctuary for you and for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. These were instructions given to Solomon from God when the temple was first built, to stand in the presence of God and watch him work. And now Jehoshaphat is doing just that thing. He prays in the temple among his people. Interestingly, the enemy surrounding them, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, were all spared back when the children of Israel left Egypt and came into the Promised Land. God asked them not to destroy these nations, but let them live peacefully in the territory. But now they had intentions to destroy God's chosen nation and take the land for themselves. Jehoshaphat continues his prayer, O our God, will you not pass judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What amazing humility Jehoshaphat had. He truly trusted in God. Next, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel in the midst of the assembly, and he said, Thus says the Lord, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Wow, God just told them to stand still and watch God fight for them. This is something that God had been telling the kings for years, but many of the kings took matters into their own hands and failed to follow God. Jehoshaphat was different. He followed God. Next, we see Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping. And the Levites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. The next morning, they rose early and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. On their way, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, believe his prophets, and then you will prosper. He appointed singers to lead them in song and praise. They said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and they were defeated. God brought victory, but how? Here's what God allowed. The people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and destroyed them. When they had worked together to kill all the inhabitants of Mount Seir, everyone who was alive kept killing each other. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked out over the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Then we see that they went to get all the enemy's possessions, and there was so much treasure that it took them 3 days to gather it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of this place was called the Valley of Barakah, or Valley of Blessing. The scripture says, "Then they returned to Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat leading the way, to go to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with music and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. The fear of God fell on all the kingdoms that day when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest." Now let's go through this prayer and victory to see if there's a pattern that we can learn for prayer in our own lives. There are 5 parts to this prayer. 1, praise. 2, request. 3, belief. 4, defeat. 5, joy. So let's go through each one of these steps. First, praise. Jehoshaphat begins his prayer by praising God. He addresses him in reverence and praise by saying, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven?" You see, God is alive, and he's not an idol, so it is reverence to acknowledge that he is ruling in heaven. Jehoshaphat adds, "You rule over all the kingdoms, and you have power and might." So what Jehoshaphat's doing here is showing that no one can stand up to God. He's proclaiming that God is all-powerful. When you pray, do like the example Jesus set for us in the Lord's Prayer when he began it with a praise. He said to his followers, "Here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name." There's so much power in praise. Personally, I usually begin every prayer with the praise. In looking back to Jehoshaphat, when they went to the battle, he appointed singers to go before them. They sang praises and said, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." When they began to praise and sing, the Lord brought them victory. Praise to God brought victory. 2, request. Next, Jehoshaphat gave his request to God by identifying the enemy, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. He prays, "O our God, please execute judgment on them. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." So you see, this prayer shows us the importance of presenting our request to God. No matter how small or large the request, God wants it all. Identify your enemy, whether it be stress, a bad situation at work, things related to kids, or other people in your life. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive." God will answer your prayer in his own way and by his own will, so never give up hope when you pray. Request to God brought victory in this battle. 3, belief. Jehoshaphat prayed with such conviction. He believed God and trusted him to deliver him in this battle. He knew the promises of God. God's Spirit spoke through Jehaziel as he said, "Listen, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed by this great army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Go down and stand still before them tomorrow, and God will fight for you." At that point, they all bowed their heads with faces down to the ground, worshiping God. So when you pray, it's important to trust and believe God. Now, how do you do that? Get to know him in his word. Read how he fought for his people in all these passages we're covering with the kings. When Jehoshaphat led the people into battle, with conviction he said to them, "Hear, O Judah, believe in the Lord your God and his prophets." So belief in God brought victory. 4, defeat. When they got to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked over the multitude and they were all dead, and none escaped. God won the battle for them. He caused the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to get confused, and they destroyed each other. Basically, Jehoshaphat and his army just walked into victory. They defeated a strong army without even working. So when you pray, Watch God defeat your enemies. Maybe your enemies are sickness, stress, being too busy, or disorganization. Pray that God would give you answers that will change your situation or maybe even change you. So God's defeat brought victory. 5. Joy. When Judah went to gather the possessions of the defeated people, it took them 3 days to gather all the treasures. On the 4th day, they brought all the gathered treasures to the Valley of Baraka. This means Valley of Blessing, and of course, they were blessed by God in this battle. When Jehoshaphat led the people into Jerusalem, they went with joy, for the Lord had given them victory. They came into Jerusalem with music and harps and trumpets and went into the house of the Lord to praise Him again. When you pray with praise, requests, believing, asking for defeat, the result is victory, and you get a feeling of joy from watching God work while you stand still. So joy is the result of victory in God. Psalm 83 is a summary of the victory of the Battle of En-Gedi. It sounds a lot like the prayer the Israelites in Judah would have prayed. So here goes. O God, do not keep silence. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they conspire with one accord. Against you they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Ashur also joined them. They are the strong arm of the children of Lot, Selah. Do to them as you did to Midian, as to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take possession for ourselves of the houses of God. O my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. As fire consumes the forest, as your flame sets the mountains ablaze, so may you pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your hurricane. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them perish in disgrace, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. God did the same thing in En-Gedi as He did for all the battles mentioned in this psalm, like at the river Kishon. You can read all about these battles in the book of Judges. In conclusion, Jehoshaphat's life was noted as being a good king until the end. It was said of him that he walked in the ways of Asa, his father, and departed not from the ways of Asa. It also says he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. That would be a great thing to have written about you, wouldn't you agree? Jehoshaphat's victory is such a picture of the future Messiah. Think about it. Judah was told to go to the battle and stand still to watch the Lord fight for them at En-Gedi. God tells us to stand still and receive the gift of eternal life from the Messiah himself. We cannot do works to get to heaven, but God did all the work for us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. What a picture of perfection in Christ and the fulfillment of the promise of God. Nothing in life matters as much as where you spend eternity. The Israelites are God's chosen people. Through the ages, we see other nations trying to destroy God's chosen people, but their efforts were always thwarted by God. We as believers are grafted in as God's chosen people, so we have His protective hand working in our lives also. Make sure you turn to God first when you feel surrounded on all sides. Don't forget, your enemy in life is Satan, who wants to convince you that he is able to defeat you. But remember that he was defeated when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus has won our victory for us. Knowing that our battle has already been won, make sure to do like Jehoshaphat did and stop to pray before running into daily battles of life. Stand still and watch God fight for you every single day. But keep remembering the joyful news from 1 Corinthians 15:57 that says, But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for listening today, and make sure to praise God for the victory that He won for you in Jesus Christ.